Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on Maroon Friday. And it's a real Maroon Friday. Every Friday's Maroon Friday. And really, in some respects, game day is every day for us that interact on the message board and social media community. But we're playing college football tomorrow. And man, I told Dave Murray, it feels like forever since we played a college football game. And as he turned to me and said, it's because, Steve, it is forever since we played. And you think about so much that's happened since the last time we played. Do you even remember that Greg Knox was the interim coach for the Southern Miss and Mississippi State games? Remember, we got heavy, right? We had Winky come in and give the little speech, and then Greg Knox rides the ATV. And remember, Southern Miss was so hopeful they were going to be able to come in here and get that win against us, and we absolutely crushed them. We went to the Egg Bowl, and we were so hopeful. Didn't work out. And the better team won. Let's just kind of call it for what it was. Better team won. I remember how emotional Greg Knox was in that post-game press conference. And this is a guy, obviously, still at Mississippi State. Greg's a bulldog. He is. He is a bulldog. His family loves it here. But, you know, hey, and the next thing you know, we're chasing a coaching search, right? And, yeah, of course, a lot of people tried to tell us, Jamie Chadwell. It wasn't. And even weeks into it, when people were still saying, Jamie Chadwell, it wasn't. He was out very early in the process. And there was some ambiguity with that, though. It's like, you know, you talk to people like, hey, listen, Jamie's not interested in the job. We're trying to pursue a perfect season. You know, that's what his focus is. And it's like, well, you know, when the season's over, you know, maybe would he be interested? Well, you know, you never know. But, you know, the reality of it is we got the best man for the job, I think, and Jeff Lebby. You know, we've got to have an offensive-minded coach at Mississippi State. I really believe that. In order, Mississippi State has to be different. Because we're not going to recruit at the same level as many of our peers. Like, if we want to get there, hey, we got to recruit close to them, but we got to do some things that are a little bit ingenious, schematically, whether it be offense or defense. We got to be a little bit different. Can't go out there and run the Alabama scheme with less than Alabama players and expect to achieve Alabama results. So we got to be a little bit different. Jeff Lebby's different. I think he fits. And maybe perhaps we're about to go into another like Dan Mullen type era. The difference is that Jeff Lebby, I think, has better representation. So, you know, I won't be out there having to refute reports about Jeff Lebby leaving for North Carolina A&T, you know, or going to Pearl River Community College. I mean, you know, all due respect to those programs. But during the Dan Mullen era, there was a lot of that noise, and much of that, you know, was originated from his representation, you know. And Dan Mullen told me himself, he goes, I think it's good for Mississippi State. It's good for the brand, you know, to have a coach that's in demand. And I think a lot of that was self-serving, you know. Let's just kind of call it for what it is. I think it hurt recruiting. And I told Dan that. was like, Dan, I think this is a bad thing for recruiting. You're kind of allowing Ole Miss to kind of slip in the back door. When these rumors get out there, they regurgitate them, and they'll go and sit in front of a kid and say, hey, there's reports out there that, you know, hey, Dan Mullen's leaving. And while that may bother you, that was true. Then Dan may not have been leaving, but yes, there were reports out there that Dan Mullen wanted out repeatedly. And so I don't think that's good for our branding. I don't think it was good for our recruiting. But nevertheless, here we are. Here we are. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. And I love Bulldog Burger Company. I love them more than a friend. And they love me back. They do. It is a great, great, great relationship. And so I point that out just because of the fact that many of you are going to be on your way to Stark Vegas this weekend, and thank you for doing that. We love it when you're here. You need to be thinking about Bulldog Burger Company. You do. Whether you stop in Tupelo on your way in, whether you stop there in the Ridge and Flowood area on your way in, or you wait until you make it here to God's Country and go to University Drive, Bulldog Burger Company, right? The Kingfish. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. Have the chocolate shake to go. But in the middle of that, you got to go out there and you got to get a great restaurant quality hamburger. Now, there's a lot to choose from. If you're a newbie, let me advise you here. Start with the Bulldog, okay? Start there. You're going to be happy. It's a good straight-ahead American rock and roll hamburger. It's going to be great. Now, if you've already done that, or maybe you're a little more adventurous, let's jump on the Smokehouse. Maybe the Freshman 15. Maybe the Pimentology add bacon. I don't even like pimento and cheese sandwiches, but I love the Pimentology hamburger. Probably my favorite. Like the little bacon on there, you know, get a little more protein. Right? You only live once. You might as well enjoy a meal. And you can certainly do that at Bulldog Burger Company. Again, the three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Let them know. Let them know how much you love them when you go in there. Take care of your servers, because they're going to take care of you, and they're going to deliver you portions that are greater than basically anyone else. Right? Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, few things. I want to get this in the first segment of the show, because sometimes I know you can't finish before you get here. So Cowbell Yell is open tonight to the public. It's going to meet in the Junction. You need to come be a part of that. If you've never done it, it's a lot of fun. Gets a lot of school spirit stirred up. You know, I know that many of you are going to be looking for something to do tonight after dinner or before dinner. I don't know your plans, but they should include Mississippi State's Cowbell Yell. Pretty cool thing. And that's going to be, let's see here, 7 p.m. in the Junction. And going to have Ernest. I'm not a country music guy. I'm not. You guys know this. But there's going to be some live music there. Have a chance to be a part of that. That's tonight, 7 p.m. in the Junction. So you don't have to worry about where to go or how do I enter. You just walk to the Junction, kind of figure it out from there. So that's available to you. Kind of changing some things up a little bit. And, you know, we want you to be a part of these things, right? We want the whole weekend to be event-filled and give you an opportunity to come celebrate Mississippi State. So if you're looking for some free live music tonight and a chance to congregate with other Bulldogs, Cowbell Yell. Cowbell Yell. And they begin to kind of set everything up. They've got a stage set up, so you don't have to get right up front, be really pressed. You can hear the live music from a little bit of a distance and just have a good time. And our folks, you know, doing the best they can, you know, to try to make everything happen. And so tailgate setup's going to happen at 4 o'clock. Fan Fest begins at 5:30. So even though Cowbell Yell begins at 7, you may want to get there early. Now, 6 p.m., T-shirt giveaway for the first 1,000 students. And many of you need new T-shirts and clean T-shirts. I was once a college student, too. I know what these shirts mean. Many of you need a clean T-shirt, right? You know I'm telling the truth. There's only so much that cologne can do for you. Get a clean shirt because you hadn't done laundry in a while. And she'll wear it to game tomorrow. And then Cowbell Yell begins at 7 p.m. So, again, live music in the Junction tonight. Super cool. Go be a part of that. I think you'll have a good time. Okay. In addition to that, some other traveling tips. I've mentioned this before, but I cannot impress this upon you enough. As soon as you get done listening to the show, and maybe even pause the show and do it now, go ahead and add your tickets to your wallet on your mobile device. Got my parking pass yesterday. I immediately accepted it, went ahead and uploaded it to my wallet. It's going to save you some time and then all the people behind you some time. Because here's what happens. No matter how many people listen to this show, and no matter how many times they tweet it out or put it out, some people aren't going to do it. And again, it's been a long time since we've attended a Mississippi State sporting event, certainly a football game. Some of you guys, the only time you come is during football season. We'd love for you to come more often. But go ahead and upload those tickets because they got to scan them, right? We all know this. So go ahead and get ahead of the game. Because how many times do you get there, it's a line, and you're like, man, I got to pee, right? Or I got to get some nachos. Or I'm ready to get in there and watch pregame. And then there's like five or six people ahead of you that in the middle of all of this, they've got to upload their tickets to their wallet. Go ahead and do that in advance of you even getting in the car. Get that taken care of. It's going to save everybody some time. And the lines are going to be a little bit long. It's not pregame form for anybody, right? A lot of people in this event management group that helps us facilitate game day do a great job. They all do. But in addition to that, there's some people sometimes that are new on the crew. And so to make their jobs easier and to shorten your own wait time, upload those tickets to your wallet. Mention, too, about the Boss Street extension. Campus is going to look a little bit different right there around the stadium. They've extended Boss Street, so you've got a new cut through there. But you also, there's a street that's no longer there. It's all covered up now with sod and things like that. And that's the old street that basically took you right up there to the northwest corner of the stadium, right there just before you get to Barnes & Noble. So if you're coming in, you know, from the College View area or from 182, it's going to look a little different. It's not going to be bad. It's going to look a little different. And you couldn't use that thoroughfare very much anyway, so it's making that more of a pedestrian area, as it should be. We don't want a lot of cars kind of zipping around. You know, right in front of the stadium. You know, we want people to be able to kind of walk around out there and kind of be unfettered by automobiles. Not to mention, I never know when one of you guys have had a drink or two, right? Or maybe you're on your phone. Maybe that girl finally responded to you on Tinder, and I don't need you distracted around our Bulldog family right around Davis-Wade Stadium. And so be prepared for that. And again, on Bosch Street Extension, there are some of these new generation speed bumps. It's not like the old asphalt, right, where they just kind of piled up there. It's, you know, there's a mechanism there, and if you're not paying attention, you may have a bit of an adventure kind of driving in there. So, again, drive with care. Pay attention to your surroundings.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Be sure and check it out. Now, there's also some other changes. Nothing super major, but you can go to hellstate.com/gameday and kind of be abreast of kind of what's happening there. There's so much of that that's important. So go to hellstate.com, and there's a bunch of little – there's a sports, tickets, Bulldog Club, facilities, media, Inside Athletics, Connect, Game Day, and then Shop. But you click on Game Day there, and it'll pop up, and sometimes it takes a little while to load. But right now it's got the countdown to kickoff up there, and then there is like the parking and traffic information there. The parking maps are there. And there are a lot of people that are on campus a lot and don't understand that on game day some of their regular thoroughfares are closed. A lot of things change on game day out of safety for our pedestrians and our fans, and all that's very, very important. There are parking guidelines, everything, right? And debit, credit cards, only option to parking lots. So don't think you can just show up there and pay cash. You ought to be used to it by now, man. We're post-COVID world now for 3-4 years. That's important to understand. And no parking on the grass, only on the grass lots. And you can find those that are available to you on the parking chart. But a lot going on. And I'm happy to talk about this, right? Just because we're that close to kickoff. And a lot of those roads around Davis Wade are going to close about 4 hours before kickoff. So around 1 o'clock tomorrow, that's going to be handled. Now, many of you seasoned tailgate people, you know the areas pretty well, pardon me. You're not an area, you're a tailgater. But, that aspect of it is not new. But for a lot of people, say, hey, we're going to do it the first time. You need to understand, you need to get set up well in advance. It's going to open up today at 4 o'clock. You can go and begin setting up your tents, and then everything closes around midnight. We don't want you spending the night on campus. No offense. But, you can see all this information. I'm not going to read it all to you. But you go to hellstate.com and then click on the Game Day tab. Now, a lot of people think, well, that doesn't apply to me, but it does apply to you, especially week one coming in. Some of it's going to be old hat, but there may be some road closures that maybe weren't in the past. On your path to your tailgating area, that's an important aspect of this. I understand, one of the most important things on game day, in addition to you bringing a cowbell, in addition to you downloading your ticket to your wallet, is knowing where to go. Knowing where to go, how to get there, because of the fact that, once you get there and you get parked and you're good to go, then you can kind of get into that celebratory mood about it. Hey, we're going to Mississippi State football game, folks, right? So I'm just going to remind you, just take a glance at the parking map before you get to Starke Bowl. Just take a quick look, make sure that you're up to date on how things look, where things go. That's an important aspect of this. And ladies, remember the clear bag policy. We reiterate that every year. It should be one of those things now that everybody knows, but inevitably there are always some new people that come to games, and we love that. But if you don't have the clear bag, ladies, they're going to send you back to the car with it. And for those of you that park way out there closer to Blackjack, that's going to be a long walk back to the car. Don't test them on this. Because you think, well, it'll be okay. No, it won't be okay. And you're going to be walking out there with your purse, and you're going to see all these ladies with these clear bags, and you're like, oh, did I need a clear bag? Well, yes, you do. Or leave your purse in the trunk of your car and get things locked up. Understand that from the beginning, you're not going to talk your way in. The rules are the rules. and they will turn you around and send you back to the car. I'm trying to be your friend here and save you some time and trouble. And a reminder again, as I've said all week long, because it is week one, let's leave an hour earlier than we normally plan to. Been some changes. Look, highway, the intersection of Highway 12 and Spring Street, and all that right there on Blackjack. They've expanded that a little bit, so that'll help, that's going to help flow, kind of moving into campus. But 12 is going to be packed. It's going to be absolutely packed. I would even encourage you, unless you're parking on that side of campus, maybe consider just going up and taking 82 and coming around that way. Probably save you a little bit of time. No red lights up there on 82. You know, and in 182, of course, you know, we're doing some work there. Got some new buildings going in up there, and maybe you just want to ride through there. They're going to be renovating that area sooner rather than later. And I'm excited about that, too. I really am. I love these enhancements to our town. I truly do. Walked around downtown yesterday with a friend, the illustrious Hind Dog, and he's like, man, it looks so nice down here. I haven't been down here in forever. You know, there have been a lot of improvements, maybe not as much as we'd like, but there have been some improvements. But understand that things have changed a little bit since you were here last football season. And so, ladies, again, I'm depending on you, as I always have. Don't let him say, well, let's just leave. Let's wait till the game is over and we'll leave. You probably have Sirius XM Octane that you listen to daily if you're one of the cool chicks. But you can listen to those games on Sirius XM too. In worst case scenario, you can plug your phone in, you know, put it on CarPlay, and then you can watch the game and let him hear the broadcast. The most important thing is to get here safely, but also get here in enough time that everybody's not running around like chickens with their head cut off, you know, trying to get into the stadium. You're fumbling with the phone. You're trying to get the tickets uploaded. I'm just trying to give you some helpful hints to save you some time and trouble. All right, let's get into our top 10 list today. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Traded some texts yesterday with Blair, but yesterday was Blair's birthday. Yeah, I mean, he's got 23 years of experience, but yet he's 29 years old. Nah, he's really not. He just looks it. I tell you what, Blair looks great. I'll just say it for what it is. Blair Chandler is a handsome man, does a great job. He's my friend. I love Blair. I do. Yes, one of the things that the longer that I get, the more I'm willing to say that. Like when I've got love in my heart for people, I tell them. And Blair's been my friend in an absolutely long time. And we interact and talk every single day. And he tells me, hey, we just closed another Boneyard loan. It makes me really happy because I know the quality of person he is. And I know that you don't stay in any industry 23 years if you don't do great work. And to see how this synergy works together. You listen to the show. Blair is my friend. He advertises on the show. And then you, when you have a need in the mortgage industry, you know who to turn to. And then that next thing I know, you know, it's like everybody's life is better, right? So all three of us benefit, right? So if you're looking for your first home, your second home, your retirement home, perhaps a game day condo, look no further then Blair Chandler at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair knows everything there is to know about the mortgage industry. You know, a lot of times when people say, hey, I want to buy a house, and it's such an intimidating process, you don't even know where to turn. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? Blair can hold your hand through the whole process, and if you need a real estate agent, he might be able to recommend one for you. And we have some great ones within the Mississippi State family. We do. Maybe perhaps when I'm going to advertise with us at some point. But all that understood, Blair gets things done. He can be your advocate with underwriting to ensure that your dream of home ownership becomes a reality. Again, 601-500-2344. All right, we're on a little bit of a heater right now. Had some really good lists lately. And somebody close to me mentioned, hey, you know, you've done songs that Motley Crue covered. You've done songs that Kiss covered. How about this? How about a list of Led Zeppelin covers? Songs that Led Zeppelin covered. Now, here's the thing. I want to set this up. Let me give you a little backstory here, okay? Led Zeppelin is the greatest rock and roll band of all time, in my estimation. That's my opinion. You may have a different opinion, but I would say, no, absolutely, Led Zeppelin. They are a British band that, in many respects, has a huge appreciation for Mississippi blues. Led Zeppelin, at its core, is a blues band. It's just an electrified version of the blues. Robert Plant one of the best blues singers of all time. There's a reason he comes down to the Delta Music Festival every now and again and plays. Interesting. Friend of a friend. You know, I have been to Robert Johnson's grave. And I know there's a couple different places that that claim to be the actual gravesite, but I have been to the real deal. And so Eric Clapton, like the stone got damaged, and Eric Clapton paid to replace it. And so you can go there. I've got a picture on Facebook going to see Robert Johnson, pay my respects to Robert Johnson. So a friend of a friend, and I won't name the friend because I don't want any of you guys hit them up and say, hey, can you help me with this? So when Robert Plant, several years ago, came to Mississippi to play the Delta Blues Festival, he went and visited the grave of Robert Johnson. And he left a note. And it says, "Dear Mr. Johnson, I love the Lemon Song, RP." And he left it there on his grave. And somebody went and got it and retrieved it and saved it for posterity's sake. Honestly, I think it should probably be in the Grammy Museum there in Cleveland, or in the Max there in Meridian. That's what I think. But nobody asked me, but that's what I think. I think it's a legendary thing that one of the greatest rock singers of all time comes to Mississippi and pays his respects to Robert Johnson, and in many respects, the father of the Delta Blues. I know some people won't argue with you about that. But that's a pretty amazing artifact. And a friend of a friend has it. Has this piece of paper. Pretty amazing stuff. And so with that, we're going to mention the Lemon Song as an honorable mention. And then You Shook Me as an honorable mention. And so now this is one of those days, too, where you're going to be like, hey, I didn't know that was a cover. Yeah, I learned a little bit today, too. A little bit. All right, let's start with number 10, Nobody's Fault But Mine. Do you know that song? Well, it was originally put together by Blind Willie Johnson. Do you know Blind Willie Johnson? Did you ever see the movie The Crossroads? Because Blind Dog Fulton was kind of fashioned after him. Blind Willie Johnson, pretty incredible stuff. He was a Texas guy. But spent some time, you know, here in Mississippi. Spent some time in Chicago. Great guy from Pendleton, Texas. Got his start in the church, as many of us did. But incredibly gifted performer. Incredibly gifted. And so Nobody's Fault But Mine was originally recorded by him. Now, Led Zeppelin took some of these songs and, of course, made rock versions out of them. But in addition to that, too, they were somewhat true to the original. All right, number 9, Dazed and Confused. Steve, no, yes, it's a cover song. You didn't know that, did you? Now, they kind of were psychedelic on this one. This is what I would call like a blues standard by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe you see things differently, but it was a little bit later, I guess you could say. But yeah, you can do your own research here. But yeah, Jake Holmes wrote that track way back in 1967. And then, of course, it was made famous by Led Zeppelin. But yes, it's a cover song. Number 8, absolutely dig this one. I have for a long time. It's considering the subject matter, it's a little bit up-tempo. Originally recorded by Bentley Ball, It's the Gallows Pole. Great song. Great song. And one of the things that I like, too, not just the fact the stuff that Led Zeppelin wrote, but a lot of the things that they re-recorded that other people did, there's some commonality in that. There's a lot of blues in it. There's a lot of things, you know, about being, you know, kind of ostracized and kind of being, you know, betrayed and disenfranchised. There's a lot of that, too. And I think it's one of the things that people resonate with Led Zeppelin. Is they sing about so much of the human condition. You're like, hey, that's very relatable. And I think a lot of that, again, it goes back to the blues. It goes back to Highway 61. So much of that. You know, there's so, you think about the rich musical heritage of this state, and then here you have the greatest rock band of all time recording songs that were played in the speakeasies along Highway 61 in places like Clarksdale and Greenville. It's incredible. All right, number 7, it's Bring It On Home. And this is a Sonny Boy Williamson track. A lot of people have covered this one. I really dig this one. I know that you will too. And one of the things that I did in my research is I went and listened to all the originals. You know, this is not Sam Cooke, okay? This is not. This is Sonny Boy Williamson. But it's so incredibly important to understand, you know, where all this stuff kind of came from. And we talk about this being the birthplace of America's music. In many respects, it's the birthplace of the world's music. If you're a rock fan, you got to understand that so much of this, the roots of rock and roll, are in the ground, the very fertile soil of the Mississippi Delta. And Sonny Boy Williamson is from Glendora, Mississippi. It's pretty incredible. I mean, it really is. You start working through all this stuff, and it just you start looking at it, and you're like, you know what? This is, we have a lot to be proud of. We certainly do. Number six, I Can't Quit You, Baby. Now, there is a little controversy about this song. A little bit, okay? Otis Rush originally recorded this in October of 69. There were some people that felt like Zeppelin was ripping them off, but it all went the right way, you know, and the Otis Rush, you know, foundation, I guess what you'd call, eventually everybody was taken care of. But there are some people, and you go back and read about this, some people were really upset in the beginning of I Can't Quit You, Baby, being written and recorded as a rock song. And I think in many respects it was very Led Zeppelin E, but I think they did pay good tribute to the original. All right, number five, back to Blind Willie Johnson. If you will go and listen to the original of this. Now, I love the Zeppelin version, but when you go back and listen, you can find it on YouTube. The Blind Willie Johnson version of In My Time of Dying, there's such an air of authenticity with this. You know, we talk about some people, well, that boy's got the blues. Well, that was really the case with the legend Blind Willie Johnson. It was not an act. He was writing and performing from his heart and soul. And I think that's one of the reasons that Led Zeppelin's like, hey, you know what? This song is incredible. This performance is incredible. So we're going to jump aboard this. In My Time of Dying, and I love what Led Zeppelin did with it. It almost makes it a new song. But when you go back and listen to the original, I think if you're a person that loves the blues and you're unfamiliar with that one, I think that's one you'll probably add to your playlist. All right, number four. Did you know that Whole Lotta Love kind of originated from the Muddy Waters song? And Zeppelin kind of made some changes with the arrangement and things like that, but it was Muddy Waters that kind of came up with what basically became the genesis of Whole Lotta Love. And you're like, Steve, these are some of the great songs that's ever recorded by Led Zeppelin. And I said, exactly. And it's so interesting, too. Muddy Waters, what an incredible name. I don't know if you know this. His real name was McKinley Morganfield. Did you know that? Muddy Waters, one of the best stage names of all time. Now, some people say that he was born in Jug's Corner there in Issaquena County. And other people say that he was born in Rolling Fork, Mississippi. Either way, an absolute legend. There's some times when I'm riding around the Delta, I just can't help it. I'll just put on some old blues. I used to put on the SiriusXM Blues channel, but so much of that is not real blues. I want to hear the Delta blues. I want to hear Robert Johnson. You know, I want to hear Bo Diddley. I want to hear Muddy Waters. I want to hear the real deal. And it's so interesting, too. A lot of people talk about Chicago kind of being the home of the blues. That's not true either. But there were a lot of times, too, you know, our guys from the Delta, you know, there were only so many places they could play in Mississippi at the time. So a lot of them would go down to New Orleans, play Bourbon Street, or they would go to Chicago. And they went those places, and there were clubs and performance arenas all around. And they could go up there, make some money, come home for a little while. And so they'd make a pilgrimage. And some of these guys would just make the tour. It's like they'd play all the Delta speakeasies. They'd go to New Orleans for a month or so, come back, play the Delta speakeasies, go to Chicago, come back. And so all of these claims about Chicago Blues, St. Louis Blues, New Orleans Blues, it's all just a byproduct of the Delta Blues of Mississippi. Absolutely factual. And Whole Lotta Love, a song that you never knew was actually a blues track. There you go. Number three, another one that's got some controversy about it. This one, actually, there was some lawsuits about it, but everybody was properly compensated. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. You know that song? Sure you do. Sure you know it. And it has been... Now, Joan Baez recorded it on a live album, but it wasn't her song. And right now, some of the old hippies are thinking, what's he talking about? No, it was a folk song written by Ann Bredon, B-R-E-D-O-N, in the 50s. Joan Baez learned of it, loved the song, and then played it at various times live. Led Zeppelin heard her play it. And then lo and behold, they recorded it themselves. It's a different version. Everybody's version's a little bit different. But again, it goes all the way back to the late 50s. And on the 1962 album, Joan Baez in Concert, there's a little bit of this song on there. True story. And Jimmy Page learns the song, learns it, pitches it to the band. Next thing you know, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, at your number three track today. Number two, and there are some days I could probably tell you this is my favorite Zeppelin song, even though it's a cover. Absolutely love it. I do. If they ever induct me to any Hall of Fame or anything, and they have like the entrance music, like if you have walkout music, this is going to be mine. It's Traveling Riverside Blues from the Coda album. And of course, that was like to fulfill the record contract. A lot of people think that Coda album was just a bunch of filler. It's not. I love Traveling Riverside Blues, and of course, it's a cover of a Robert Johnson song. And what's interesting about that to note is the Lemon song and Traveling Riverside Blues have a lot of connections. Now, the Lemon song is based on Howling Wolf's Killing Floor, and Zeppelin themselves played the song Killing Floor at times live. Now, in the Lemon song, there is the lyric, squeeze my lemon until the juice runs down my leg. That's also mentioned in Traveling Riverside Blues. Now, that goes back to Robert Johnson. However, we can't prove it, but we believe it. Robert Johnson, we believe, actually took that from Arthur McKay. Arthur McKay had a song called She Squeezed My Lemon. It came out like a year before Robert Johnson started performing it. And in many respects, I believe it was misattributed to Robert Johnson. He dug the song, he played it, and then people thought it was an original. It wasn't. It was an Arthur McKay song. Robert Johnson did his own song, Traveling Riverside Blues, and he kind of took some lyrics from Arthur McKay. Yeah, so it's kind of it's a tangled web, but it all goes back to the Delta Blues, every bit of it. Even Robert Johnson, the great Robert Johnson, the legend, was borrowing from other people. There's a lot of that that went on. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, every note that's ever going to be played on a guitar has already been played, right? So everybody is influenced by somebody. I think it's important, though, to pay tribute to the Delta Blues. But Traveling Riverside Blues, man, the way that Jimmy Page works that slide guitar on there, it just does something to me, right? It just does. I don't know if it'd work as a baseball walkout, but I'm going to tell you, if I ever go anywhere and they ask for intro music, that's what it's going to be. Traveling Riverside Blues by Leonard Skinner, by Led Zeppelin. Skinner may could have pulled it off. I don't know. But I love this version. I love the Coda album, too. I mean, it's not. I don't like it as much as Physical Graffiti or Houses of the Holy or Led Zeppelin 1, 2, 3, or 4. I don't like it on that level. But I don't see it as some throwaway album like some other people do. I think there's some super cool tracks on that album. And I tell you guys this, too. When I may have shared this with you before. I remember, I think it was our second Christmas together. And the Led Zeppelin box set came out, and my wife is as big a Led Zeppelin fan as there ever has been. And I was broke as a Ten Commandments, man. I was. And I saved up money and just squirreled away a few dollars here, a few dollars there, and I was able to buy her that CD set for Christmas. I think it was our second Christmas together. And I don't know that if a girl's ever been happier than when she opened up and then I've gotten her the Led Zeppelin set. So that's all we listened to for like 6 months. you know, we all knew the songs, but there was so many other great things on there too that it was great. So yeah, Led Zeppelin's been a big part of my life, even though they were, you know, we got, that's the thing I talk about too, my age group, we got to see the end of Led Zeppelin, the end of the Beatles, got to hear some John Lennon stuff, we got to live through the 80s, all the great pop music, and of course all the heavy metal and hair metal, we got to see the rise of thrash metal, we got to live through grunge, you know, and so when you talk about, you know, the music experts in America these days, it's people from my generation. You know, we got to hear and see all the legendary bands. And it used to be a big deal. They used to do some concerts on TV. Now it's just everywhere, right? It was a big deal back then. I remember watching, you know, The Last Waltz from the band with my stepdad. To sit down, and I thought, it's incredible. Even as a kid, I was like, man, these guys are great. Can't believe that they're disbanding. They did. But we got to live through all of that stuff. And so when you talk about rock and roll, you're talking about my generation. Number one, and a lot of people don't know this is a cover, but it is. And you go back and listen to the original. It's incredible. It truly is. And even with the very rudimentary recording devices they had, the spirit of this song comes through. Comes through on the original. It's When the Levee Breaks. The lyrics reworked a little bit in the Led Zeppelin version. And of course, that great, great drum and bass line from John Paul Jones and John Bonham. But that's number one, When the Levee Breaks from Led Zeppelin 4. So again, I love these kinds of lists, right? When we can talk a little bit about the history of music, but also to kind of pay tribute to the great state of Mississippi and the legendary blues performers from the Mississippi Delta. And I absolutely love Led Zeppelin, and I love the fact that you begin to think about, hey, the greatest band in rock and roll covered about 20 songs, and about half of them were the originators of the Mississippi blues scene as far as the writers and performers of those songs. That is, to me, that is incredible to think about that. You know, the one band that most people would agree is probably the greatest rock band of all time, and then much of their career was influenced by the Delta blues. That is amazing to me. And I think it's something that we should all find real glory in. If you get a chance to get up in a Delta and go to the Grammy Museum or go to the B.B. King Museum, you absolutely owe it to yourself to go. I love to go to those places, too. And, yeah, I don't know, maybe it sounds a little bit macabre, but sometimes, too, when I travel, I go by grave sites and I'll pay my respects and, you know, bring some flowers or things like that. Just because of the fact, even though these people are dead and gone, I think it's important for us to remember and honor them. And that's what today, in many respects, was about. While we're championing and celebrating the music of Led Zeppelin, we're also kind of throwing a bone to some people that helped make Mississippi great. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. When I go to buy Mississippi State merchandise, that's where I go. You should too. You should always support a Starkville business, even if you're not coming to Starkville for a game. If you live out of state, perhaps you can't get here, you can still support a Starkville business by shopping online at campusbookmark.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. And for those of you game day travelers, nothing's better than rolling into Campus Bookmart on game day and buying that new Mississippi State shirt, whether it be a polo or a t-shirt. You might want a t-shirt this weekend. Going to be a little bit warm, but it should dip down into the 70s in the early evening hours. But nevertheless, they've got what you're looking for, whether you're looking for game day apparel or you're looking for a gift for the home, whether it be a graduation gift for somebody, perhaps a wedding gift, housewarming gift. Look no further than Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job there, kind of putting everything together and giving you the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the known universe. All right, let's take a quick look back at last night, then we'll preview the rest of the league. It's going to be a fun weekend. A lot of points scored in the Southeastern Conference last night. 121 points, and we only played two games. Arkansas just absolutely annihilates the Golden Lions of Arkansas Pine Bluff. 70-0. We expected a blowout, 70-0, maybe a little bit more than we expected. But you know, Sam Pittman's under the gun up there, man. You got to get out there and show people that you're part of it. Attendance last night, Thursday night game there in Little Rock, we talked about that, you know, about, hey, what does it mean to play that game in Little Rock? Just over 40,000 for the game there, just over 40,000. 28-point first quarter for the Razorbacks. They followed it up with 21 more in the second quarter. It is a 49-0 game at the break, and then they had a touchdown in the third and two in the fourth to win 70-0. And, you know, what's this Arkansas offense going to look like? You know, Taylen Green, a big night last night for the Razorbacks, 16 of 23 for 229 yards. He threw for a couple touchdowns. He also ran six times for 88 yards and a pair of scores there. So four of the 10 touchdowns accounted by Taylen Green, who we do expect him to be the quarterback. Malachi Singleton got some snaps too, goes 8 of 10 for 120. K.J. Jackson gets in late, goes 4 of 4. But it'll be interesting to see how this thing works out. Jaquindon Jackson with 101 yards to lead the Razorbacks in rushing. So congratulations to the Fighting Sam Pittmans on a win in week number one. Again, not a real surprise there. Nobody looked at that game and thought that the Razorbacks were on any kind of upset alert. Also, Missouri gets off to a good start. 51-0 winners over Murray State. Our good friend Jody Wright, coach at Murray State. And again, 28-point first quarter. Wouldn't you love to have a 28-point first quarter Saturday evening for Mississippi State? The Tigers tack on a touchdown there in the second to make it 35-0 at the break, and then add 10 in the third and 6 in the fourth. 51-0 is your final. This Missouri offense should be really good. They should be. Brady Cook did not play extensively, but he did get 30 attempts off, 19 of 30 for 218 yards and a touchdown. Drew Pine, who was expected to be the future for Missouri, comes in, goes 10 of 11 for 82. Very efficient night for him. Depth of target, not really a big factor. Rushing game was a big part of things, and they did it for the most part by committee. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players with carries last night. Brady, just four of those, ran for a touchdown too. But Nate Newell, 11 carries for 48 yards. And again, really, they spread the carries around a good bit. You know, as a team, they rushed for 189 yards. The leading rusher was Newell with 48. Mookie Cooper, one catch of 49. Daniel Blood had five grabs for them. Luther Burden, pretty big night, 3 of 39. And very limited action, very productive in what he did. But that's a name to know as we get deeper into the season. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much went to script. And I think the weekend, for the most part, will go to script. But you know what? We kind of love it when it does it, right? It's like this one we think, hey, there's all these preconceived notions about how things go. And then Georgia Tech beats Florida State, right? Those things are one of the reasons that we love college football. So Temple at Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma is a huge favorite here. I think Temple will probably cover. But I do think Oklahoma wins. I don't think there's really much question about that. I think Oklahoma wins this game. They're ranked 16th, and I don't know if they end the year in the top 25. I don't know. I'm not sold on Oklahoma. I think they may be a 7-5 team this year. This is not just my opinion. Virginia Tech, a road favorite at Vanderbilt. I have no question about Virginia Tech winning this ball game. I think it's just going to be a matter of how much they win by. Can Vanderbilt do some things defensively to kind of slow them down? There's just not a lot of offensive skill at Vanderbilt. They're going to have a tough time scoring. I think we all probably agree on that. It's Vanderbilt. They're picked last for a reason, despite getting votes to win the Southeastern Conference. Again, let me reiterate my concern to you that SEC Media Days voting and balloting is a joke. Okay, Clemson and Georgia. I'm excited about this one. That's going to be going on 11 a.m. You're going to be able to watch that one before you see our Bulldogs play. But probably the premier game of Saturday that involves an SEC team. I like Georgia. I think Georgia's favored by 13. I like Georgia to win and cover. I think Clemson is good. But I think sometimes, too, they kind of get credit for being kings of the crap. And what I mean by that is the ACC is not what a lot of people want it to be. And people are like, well, hey, they're the best team in the ACC, and the ACC is a Power Four conference, so they got to be great. They're going to beat up on each other. I think Georgia probably does pretty much what they want to do in this game. We talk about blowouts. UT Chattanooga, the Mocs, headed to Knoxville in the Owen Stadium. That'll be right around a noon kick, Central Time. Tennessee ranked 15th. I think Heupel and those guys are kind of lying in their reeds a little bit. And we talked about their schedule and we previewed them as part of our opponent preview. I could see Tennessee surprising a little bit. Do they win and get to the SEC championship game? I say no. But they could be a sneaky team that gets in the playoff. I think that's not a hot take. I think a lot of people kind of see it for what it is. They may need to pull an upset somewhere and avoid being upset. But don't be surprised. Tennessee, with all that offense, has a chance to do some things. Now, Miami is at Florida. Miami, a road favorite. What's it, 2.5, 3 points? I'm taking Miami here to beat Florida. And some of that, too, to be honest with you, that's a Mississippi State bias in me. Like, I want what's best for Mississippi State. I don't want Florida to come in here jacked up, feeling good about themselves. And some are like, but Steve, I want to beat them at their best. I don't care. I don't care if they play with 10. I just want to win the game. I think Napier and those guys are under a ton of pressure. I think they're going to have to invest a lot of emotional energy in this game, win or lose. And then, of course, they get Samford next week and then A&M. And, again, there is a real possibility that they could show up and start with 1-2. That's why it's so important for us to win these three non-conference games to open up before we get an SEC play. I mean, could you begin to imagine, even though it's an afternoon game, if Mississippi State is 3-0 with Florida coming to town, you might want to think about getting tickets now. Especially if Florida begins to kind of limp in here. If they come in here 1-2 with their backs against the wall, and they could be a dangerous team. Florida has athletes. I just don't know if they have coaching. And they got the trigger man back. Graham Mertz is incredible. You know, and they're going to win some games because of him, right? I don't know. He's a good manager of the game, but he also makes some plays. He's not just a game manager. But he's not a guy that puts them in a lot of, you know, negative plays. You got a quarterback, and a lot of times it boils down to the quarterbacks. Is Blake Shapen better than Graham Mertz? I think that's something that's to be determined. But that could be one of those big games early in the Jeff Lebby era, even though it's not a great Florida team. If Mississippi State can be 3-0 and find a way to win that game and you're 4-0, you're probably in a top 25 going to Texas. And listen, it's going to be a brutal month of October for Mississippi State. Absolutely brutal. The toughest part of our schedule. It's absolutely terrible. That's why you got to get fat in September. So, yeah, I want Florida kind of limping in. I think a lot of that begins with a loss this week. We want the pressure to be on them. We want to play like we have nothing to lose because we don't. Colorado State is at Texas. Texas is a huge favorite in this game. Texas ranked 4th in the country. Certainly a playoff team. I think everybody sees it for what it is, barring a major injury. You know, and, you know, is yours ready to take the next step? You know, it'll be interesting to see what Texas looks like after, you know, midway through this, and as they start getting into some SEC play and having to contend with some of the best defensive minds in the country. You know, do they disguise coverages? Can they get to the passer? The Big 12 is a much different league. It is. Not necessarily to say that the SEC is that much better. It is better. But when you look at the Big 12, it is kind of a finesse league. This is not. Old Dominion at South Carolina. Listen, Shane Beamer, our friend, I think we all agree he's on the hot seat this year. Old Dominion's coming in. South Carolina should win that game. Williams-Brice game, afternoon game. I don't think the Monarchs have any talent that can compete with South Carolina. And South Carolina is a team that's really in transition. You know, Spencer Rattler is now gone. They've had some other guys, too, especially on the offensive side of the football, that have moved on either to the National Football League or to the portal. And so it'll be interesting to see what South Carolina does. It had been a good year for us to play them, see what they do over the balance of the year. They should win this weekend without any trouble. We're going to save the East Carolina-Mississippi State game. You know my feelings about that. But Western Kentucky at Arkansas, you know, of course, Drew Hollingshead, the offensive coordinator there for the Hilltoppers. To be honest with you, like, a lot of people are saying, hey, Alabama, if they're 10-2, that's okay. That's okay. You know as well as I do, like, fans are prisoners of the moment. Not just ours, but theirs too. You know, they have a lot of Walmart T-shirt alums. They do. Everybody kind of sees it for what it is. I think there's a lot of pressure on this team. I really do. And I think Kellen DeBoer is going to do a good job and be fine. But it's going to be almost impossible for anybody to live up to the standards that were set by Nick Saban. Now, DeBoer obviously did a great job at Washington. And I suspect he'll do a great job at Alabama. And they're going to beat Western Kentucky without any problem. But you look up at the end of the year, if they're 9-3, let's say you lose the Iron Bowl, might not be as comfortable in Tuscaloosa. Not that he's in danger of losing his job, but there are going to be some people up there making some phone calls. Furman's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, of course, preseason number 6. A lot of people expect them to be good. They should be good. They've got a very veteran team. They did a good job in the portal, a very favorable schedule. The Paladins have absolutely no chance to beat Ole Miss. And you know, Ole Miss may score 70 in this game. You think Arkansas put up some big numbers against Pine Bluff? Ole Miss may do the same thing. Ole Miss's goal is to win this game, kind of get some things on tape, and get out of the game healthy. That's what their goal is, similar to everybody else's. But it's not a marquee game. I mean, it's basically a glorified scrimmage. Just kind of call it for what it is. But I will be shocked if this game is a game at all after one quarter. You know how Lane Kiffin does it? You know, they score early and kind of get on a roll. Next thing you know, they're up 2 scores, whether it be 10-0 or 14-0 before anybody's gotten comfortable. So, yeah, Ole Miss wins big. Notre Dame at A&M, it's interesting. There are some people out there that expect A&M to win this game because they're at home. Now, Riley Leonard, of course, transferred from Duke to Notre Dame. Mike Elko leaves Duke, goes to A&M. Riley Leonard reportedly has had a really good camp. Notre Dame has a lot of pieces around him. They're ranked 7th. A&M's ranked 20th. That's going to be a night game. It's going to kick off 6:30. Maybe you catch the tail end of that one in the Junction after we take on Eastern Kentucky. It's a big, big game early on for A&M. And, again, I think A&M is one of those teams that maybe is getting votes just based off projections. And do people forget what A&M has done the last couple of years? I mean, is it just me? Or does it just seem like Texas A&M, it's like people assume they should be good, but they're not good. You know, they're just an average team in the SEC, and that's something that I think some of the national media kind of lose it. Oh, yeah, well, I liked Mike Elko, and they were so good at Duke. Yeah, and I think, again, that kind of goes back to our discussions about the ACC, you know? Not to say that Duke wasn't a bad team, but I think they kind of benefited of being a good team in a kind of a mediocre conference. But, you know, guys, the last 2 years, Texas A&M has gone 5-7 and 7-6. And then they had some of their best portals hit players at the portal last year. You get their preseason number 20. I'm just not buying it. I think Notre Dame wins the game. The spread's only a couple points, maybe 3 points there. I like Notre Dame to win the game. I think Riley Leonard, we talk about toss-up games, you know, favoring sometimes the home teams, and we talk about whoever has a better quarterback tends to win. I think that's Notre Dame, even though they're played on the road. And Notre Dame is used to going in the hostile environments. I don't think Kyle Field will affect them the way that some people expect. Now, A&M may win. I'm going to be completely wrong, but I think Notre Dame wins the game. Alabama A&M is at Auburn, and kind of like Arkansas versus Pine Bluff and Mizzou versus Missouri, or I guess against Murray State, you're not going to learn anything about Auburn in this ballgame. You know, and Auburn's goal is just like many of the rest of us that are playing an FCS team. Get in, get the big dub, and get out healthy. Of course, this game is played there on the Plains, and I'm happy to see them play Alabama A&M. I'm a proponent of these FCS games. That check going to an in-state institution. I mean, Alabama A&M and Auburn are never going to be recruiting the same players. Never. But you know what? Alabama A&M at some point may have a guy that excels and may get in a portal and may play his way into a Power 5 opportunity. Right? Doesn't it make sense to play those games? You know, Jackson State's had some guys that Deion recruited that ended up transferring other places, done a good job. We're hoping one of them is Kevin Coleman. Southern Miss at Kentucky. I'll be honest with you. I think Southern Miss covers here, but Kentucky wins. That's my feeling. I'm not – this Kentucky team, too, it's like, again, they're not ranked, and that's great. I'm really happy that that's not the case. But I think they're very, very mediocre. And I think that is going to be apparent. Now, you know, Will Hall, you know, what's happened down there? You know, I'll be honest with you. I really expected Southern Miss to be better than they have been under Will Hall. And maybe it just hasn't taken root yet. They do a good job recruiting around the state. But it's interesting. You know, it is to me that they haven't been better. Now, this would be a huge win for Southern Miss. I just don't think they have the horses to do it. And they did work the portal really hard. And they got some former Mississippi State players down there. So they got some guys, obviously, that got some girth to them. But I look back here in the last few years here. 2019 Kentucky team went 7-5 in a regular season. Did you know that? In 2020, they went 4-6 in a regular season. Now, 21 was different. They go 9-3. They win the Citrus Bowl, finish in the top 20. Hey, great. Last year, 7-5 in a regular season. They're a mediocre program. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. I mean, I go back. Let's just start with Stoops, right? 2-10, 5-7, 5-7, 7-5 in a regular season. 7-5 in a regular season, then 10-3, and then 7-5, 4-6, 9-3. So you've had two good years in nearly a decade. But like nobody, everybody seems to forget about all these 7-5, 6-6 type years. And so, yeah, if this game wasn't played in Lexington, I might give Southern Miss a little more of a chance. I still think Kentucky would win in Hattiesburg, but I'd love to see Southern Miss go up there and make it industry, and I just don't think they will. I do think they may cover, though. All right, South Carolina and LSU, that's going to be a big game. And, of course, that's 7:30 Eastern, so 6:30. It's on Sunday. You have a chance to watch that game. It'll be a lot of fun. I could almost talk myself into USC winning this game, almost. Almost talk myself into this. I just think in the end that LSU, let's forget the marquee positions. Let's just talk about it too deep. I think in the end LSU is recruited at such a high level that they're going to give USC some trouble. And again, I don't know how the quarterback situation is going to play out at LSU. You don't lose a Heisman Trophy winner and get better. And even with a Heisman Trophy winner last year, LSU wasn't really in the mix late to win the SEC West. I won't be surprised if LSU goes out there and loses the ball game, but I do expect them to win. And so here are your winners, not Mississippi State related. Obviously, Arkansas, Missouri have already won. I like Oklahoma to win, Virginia Tech to win, Georgia to win, Tennessee, of course, Miami to win, Texas to win, South Carolina, Alabama, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Auburn, and Kentucky, and then LSU. And so, yeah, I do have the league taking some non-conference losses this weekend. And I don't think it hurts the prestige of the conference by any stretch. I mean, the pride of the conference is never nestled in the arms of the Vanderbilt Commodores. But that's how I see it playing out. Of course, we pick against the spread over jeanspage.com. I got to get that format cleaned up a little bit for you guys, too, to make it easier to read. And I do apologize for that. We'll get that done. But all that understood, it's here. Again, and there's some football games tonight, too. I don't know if you guys have paid attention. I'm going to be up in Tupelo. Watching Tupelo take on Whitehaven. I think Tupelo's probably got 7 or 8 Division I prospects on that team. So that's an efficient trip. Got a text message from my friend Greg Ellis earlier, proving my credential. Excited to go over there and see my friends in Tupelo. Matter of fact, it won't be too much longer after I get done with this show and get this posted. I'll be going by and collecting my belongings and heading that way. So not going to stay into the end because it didn't make any difference to me who wins. I'm here to get some pictures and some video. Like these independent journalists that go crash your post office. Yeah, I'm just here to get video and pictures. Yeah, got a First Amendment right. This is a constitutionally protected activity. Yeah, but I'm credentialed, so no worries with that. But, looking forward to that. And if you are not getting out checking out a high school game, and I understand it's hot, and maybe you don't have a kid in a band or a cheerleader or anything like that. I get it, But if you'll be sitting at home tonight watching some college football, you might be pretty excited about that. Of course, Temple and Oklahoma tonight, you can watch that game this evening. Wouldn't that be great, right? And that's what I'll do. I'll take care of my business, come back, probably throw out some content for you guys. Maybe do it in the morning. We'll see. I mean, the game's not until 5. I don't have to rush to campus. So no book signings tomorrow. And we will have an update on the release date for the dude. It looks like it's going to be early October. But I'll give you – we'll find next week. A little bit later than I was expecting or than I was told. But we had to make some decisions about – I didn't want our limited edition people to get their books late. So we had to make some decisions about that. But tonight's football schedule, Lehigh at Army, if you're so inclined. That's on the CBS Sports Network. Temple is at Oklahoma. That's ESPN game at 6. Florida Atlantic is at Michigan State. It's on the Big Ten Network. Elon is at Duke. That's the ACC Network. Western Michigan at Wisconsin. And then TCU at Stanford. So if you're staying at home tonight, you can watch Oklahoma play their first game ever as a member of the Southeastern Conference, though it would be a non-conference game. And when that game's over, you can stay with ESPN and watch TCU at Stanford. So, yeah, again, good college football tonight and some notable names. And then, Saturday is going to be absolutely wild. And, it's going to be so much fun to go home, watch the SEC Network, and you'll see all those highlights. I mean, it's like we're back. It's like I keep telling people, it's like, we've worked all the stuff. We've worked all the press conferences and gone through all the camp drills and things of that nature and been to practice when we've been allowed to. But it's still hard to believe we're getting ready to play a football game. It's almost like we're out of practice. And again, think about what this program has been through in the last couple of years. We just need a normal year of football, right? We can go out there, play good, not have anything crazy happen, win 6-7 ball games, get to a bowl game, kind of lay a foundation for year one for Jeff Lebby. And I can tell you that Coach Lebby is very confident, very confident. I really like the fact that Jeff Lebby is a guy that doesn't shy away from expectations. He said, hey, I don't look at this as a rebuild. Now, I think we all do, but I'm glad he doesn't. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter as much what we think. We're not around the team every day. We're not out there watching these guys work and grind. We didn't go out there and select these players that we, took from the portal. He did. And so the better he feels, the better I feel, right? And I don't get the sense in my interactions with Jeff Lebby that he's one of these overly optimistic coaches. There are some coaches out there that, it's so hard to convince somebody that's doing a bad job or doing a bad job when they've convinced themselves or doing a good job. We've had some guys like that. I don't get that from Jeff Lebby because if something's not right, he'll tell you. And when he says, hey, we're going to be just fine, then I feel like, hey, I don't need to worry about this. Because if coach thinks we're going to be just fine, then I think we're going to be just fine. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're looking to bring a large group to Stark Vegas, the clubhouse, absolutely the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Whether it's a work group, a friends group, a family group, you're coming for a ball game weekend, coming for midweek to maybe enjoy some men's or women's basketball, just make an event out of it. Take a couple vacation days and come enjoy the greater days of Starkville. Yeah, that's a thing too. You come here midweek and get in your favorite restaurant without any issue. Yeah, it's true. Or maybe it's a bachelorette weekend or a bachelor party. We don't want it to get too wild, but you can have some privacy. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, just really one neighbor out there. We don't want you throwing a rager, but at the same time, too, you can enjoy being in your favorite city. How cool is that? Now, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. You'll have the opportunity to look through the pictures and see all the fine amenities that are available to you and your guest. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that great back porch area, the fire pit, 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. It's the renovated clubhouse at the old country club. It's a spectacular facility. And so if you're bringing a work group to town and maybe you're going to be, just kind of needing like a home base as everybody goes out throughout the day and does their work, the Golden Triangle is a wonderful place to be. And you can stay right here at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google, you're also going to see some booking options that pop up. You're going to have the Airbnb option, the VRBO. Hey, you can go that route if you want to. Maybe you've got a promo code. Maybe you've got a discount through them. I don't know. But if you're like me, you're just a John Q. Bulldog, you need a promo code. Let me give you one. It's BSR10, BSR10, BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay when you book through the Evolve website. How cool is that? And we've had a lot of our Boneyard listeners that have taken advantage of the amenities that are available to you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. So book soon and begin to think about that when you get ready to come to town. Instead of getting 5 hotel rooms and have everybody scattered out all over the city, wouldn't it be great to have everybody under one roof and be able to break bread together and just kind of enjoy life in the greater Stark Vegas area? Again, that's the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, a couple changes coming our way, too. SEC has now announced that there will be an availability report, which basically is a nice way to call it an injury report. And that's one of the things a lot of fans have wanted over the years. Now, Mike Leach was totally against injury reports, and Mike's philosophy was a little bit different than most. Mike felt that getting up and talking about injuries was kind of laying the groundwork to excuse. Right, he's like, I'm not going to get out here and talk about who we don't have because it makes it feel like, hey, we expect to lose the game, so let's go ahead and let you know we're not going to be without this guy. He said it was my job to find a way to win the game with the players that were available to us. It wasn't that he was trying to be coy. I know he took some criticism from people that didn't know him. They pretended to, but a lot of people put out there, oh, they don't. He didn't tell us anything. He's not going to, and that was why. Well, now it's mandated by the SEC. And a lot of it's got to do with gambling, despite what somebody may tell you. A lot of gamblers work the back channels and try to find out if certain guys are playing. And that was referenced in Greg Sankey's statement. Quote, this availability reporting policy is intended to reduce pressure from outside entities, my words, regamblers, seeking information and represents a commitment to our 16 institutions to provide enhanced transparency to support efforts to protect our student athletes and the integrity of competition. Now, how it's going to work is so on Wednesday, the all SEC schools have to report to the league office their initial availability reports for their upcoming games. Then you're going to have updates Thursday and Friday, and then 90 minutes before kickoff, you're going to have the final say. And so you're going to have guys basically kind of like the NFL, you know, I mean, and that's a good model to follow. It's probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. Simple, right? And really no specification, you know, and it's a week-to-week thing. Unless a guy has a season-ending injury, it's going to fluctuate week to week. And so for those of you that wanted it, this now it's here. I didn't think it was necessary, but I also understand the gambling aspect of it too. You put that out there. Because there's a lot of malfeasance that goes along with that. Yeah, I don't know if you guys, did you guys keep up with this Alabama baseball thing? You know, the guy that was involved in all that, the gambler, going to prison for a while. True story, insider trading leads to Coach Bo losing his job and basically being blackballed from college baseball. And then the gambler on the other end of it that made the bet, going to jail. Yeah, good stuff. All right, our final thoughts on tomorrow's game. As I told you guys to, please be here early. And listen, I like getting there early anyway, not just because of the fact that I want to eat, but I like to get there early and have a chance to come visit with some of you. But more importantly, breaking news, right? I want to see what's out there, who's going through workouts and who's going through warm-ups. And so watch our Twitter feed. We'll have a story, an injury story that we'll update kind of as needed. An availability story now. We'll find out some guys, and then if we see some guys maybe a little bit hobbled or maybe guys that are in street clothes, the sooner we get that, the sooner we're going to report it, right? So we may even have it before the 90-day mark or the 90-minute mark, pardon me. Hopefully there's no 90-day injury reports. But all that understood, we're going to get there early, encourage you to get there earlier. And, yes, I do expect State to win this game going away. I think the latest spread was, 24.5. And I've seen some people out there saying, hey, we should beat these guys by 50 points. I don't know about that. If we do, I would be very encouraged. But here's the thing. You're not going to learn a lot about your team tomorrow, no matter how this thing plays out. And if we lose a ball game, you'll learn some things. And if you win this ball game, you know, 35-10 or something, I think you're going to walk away with the same expectations for this team that you got today. And if we go out there and hang 70, you start thinking, you know what, hey, maybe there is the probability of upsetting somebody this year. But, you know, because of the talent disparity between Eastern Kentucky and Mississippi State, you know, I don't think you can make any hard and fast judgments about this team. And, again, I think we're a 500 team that goes to a Tennessee bowl game. Yeah, if you – Right now, you say, hey, Steve, State's going to go 6-6, maybe 7-5, and you guys are going to go to Liberty or Music City. Would you take it? I'll take it right now. Right now. And I think most of you probably agree with me. And I want to commend our fans. I really do. And we started talking about this way back in January. You know, difficult schedule, a lot of new moving faces, moving pieces. If I can get, I just work it together, right? A lot of newness with this. And so we have to be reasonable in our expectations. Yeah, last year, you know, I think, including your good friends and hosts, you know, maybe in the preseason, maybe we let our emotions kind of get the better of us. You know, we've been through a lot. Don't judge us. We've been through a lot, and we want what's best, right? And with all the veterans that we had last year, especially on defense, we really expected a good year. And defensively, we actually were pretty good. I've read some things out there, some misnomers from some people talking about how bad we were on defense last year, and we actually were pretty good on defense. You know, we were just offensive on offense. You know, that's part of the deal. What was it, 10 touchdowns in the SEC? That's not going to win. You play 8 games against Southeastern Conference opponents and your average just over a touchdown a game, you're not going to win. And as you saw with Arkansas, you know, went and had a Herculean effort on defense against KJ Jefferson, who's now at Central Florida. You know, that wasn't a minor performance from the defense. It was outstanding. Defense kept us in some games. You know, this year you look at it and you have all the question marks on defense. And so, you know, I expect to play a lot of people. And again, like so many other teams that are playing an FCS opponent, I want to get the win with some comfortability and get out of there healthy. And then this time next week, I'll be on a plane to Arizona. And I hope to be going out there 1-0 with a healthy football team, because I believe, again, and I've reiterated and we'll really get into it next week, I'll belabor the point all week, that game is the most important game on our schedule. You say, Steve, it's not even an SEC game. We're going to have to win all 4 of these non-conference games to have a chance to go bowling. Yeah, we're not going to be in contention for the playoff this year. I'd love that. And I look forward to that. And listen, I know part of the acrimony right now is because Ole Miss is set up to have a great year. And so you'll be hate watching them, hoping they lose and get upset and not make the playoff. We all will. But what's more important is, hey, Jeff Lebby taking some steps here. I mean, you know, goodness, what is this, year 5 for Lane Kiffin up there? And he's done a great job. But I'm not going to let Ole Miss's season impact my interest level and love for Mississippi State. Now, hey, yeah, my two favorite teams are Mississippi State and whoever's playing Ole Miss, right? I'll root against them. You know, if we had a Furman Paladins flag, I'd fly in front of the house. You know, I mean, I that's just how I feel, right? But the reality of it is that, hey, they should have a good year. And, you know, what if we find a way to go 7-5 and beat Ole Miss? You say, but Steve, no, you never know what kind of shape we're going to be in by the time we get there. What if we go 7-5 and beat Ole Miss, knock them out of playoffs, we go to a bowl game, because they're all in for this year. And commend them, they have assembled a great roster. You know, I think we put a pretty good roster together too. But I would say on paper, they have the better roster. I don't think anybody would disagree there. It's not necessarily a hot take. But I'm going to encourage you as a Mississippi State guy, let's focus on Mississippi State. We're not playing the Egg Bowl until the day after Thanksgiving. So let's just go in week to week and enjoy the journey. And you're like me. You know, like you understand how important the month of September is to year one under Jeff Lebby. And so, hey, if you are out there in Arizona, Justin Frommer and I will be out there too. It's not a hobby for us. It is a job, and it's a fun job, but it is still a job, and it requires a lot of you know, resources and commitment on our part and things of that nature. So we'll get out there on Friday, and if you are the Arizona folks, I'm hoping they do like an alumni thing out there. I'd love to be able to come out there and see some of you. I've had some people over the years that have said, hey, if I ever get to Mississippi, I want you to sign my book. Well, I'll be in Arizona, so we'll try to make arrangements to go to the alumni event, assuming they have one. I'll check with Michael or Janet this week, and we'll see, you know, about that. Also, speaking of books, this Sunday, they're going to be open 11-3 downtown at Campus Bookmart, or Book Martin Cafe. I'm going to go down there. It's one of the things that I do on ballgame weekends, because we have a lot of people that come to town that aren't ordinarily here. Maybe you couldn't make a book signing. And, you know, some days we go up there and sell 20 books. Some days we sell 5, you know. But I like to go there and congregate and hang with our fans, because many of you will spend the night Saturday night and enjoy a day in Sunday in Starkville. Maybe you go to church locally out here when you're in town. Maybe you go grab some lunch at a cafe or whatever. And I'll be right downtown at Book Martin Cafe 11-3 on Friday. The new book is not out. And again, it looks like an early October release date. We'll have an official date here, I don't know, a week or so. But yeah, it's not going to be in September. And it stinks for me too, because I'm already thinking about the next one, right? But I'm going to enjoy this. But it's one of those things too where, you know, we're going to miss book signings at local bookstores and clothing stores, you know, during the month of September. You know, we have 3 home games in September. And so those are 3 missed opportunities for us. And we sell hundreds of books when we do those events. And so it is what it is. It's not anything that I can control. I did my part. I'm very, 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 very proud of this book. Of all the books that I've written, this is number 7, it's probably the one that I'm most proud of. And it's so, I think about this stuff from time to time, you know, about how my life has changed. Sometimes you have to take an inventory. And it's one of the things that recovery has taught me, that every so often I've got to kind of stop and put a gratitude list together. And I'm so grateful. It's like 7 books. I mean, it almost boggles the mind to say that. But when I wrote Flim Flam, you know, I really felt like I was getting out of my lane. And a lot of that too, a lot of that self-doubt and a lot of that imposter syndrome is part of pushing through and becoming a different person. And so when I wrote Villains, it was a little different, right? I feel like, okay, I've done this before. This is somewhat familiar. And this time I'm not writing about ultimately somebody losing a job. And then we did Alpha Dogs in the middle of COVID. And I told Carolyn Abadi, who runs Book Martin Cafe downtown, I said, you know, book three, I think, kind of legitimizes you as an offer. Everybody can get one. Everybody can write that one book, and everybody's like, that's really good, you know. And then, you know, we began to build on that. Of course, we didn't get to tour nearly as much with Alpha Dogs because of COVID. And even when we did tour, you guys are a little reluctant to get out. I understand that. We've sold a bunch of those books since then. And then, of course, Dogpile, an impossible writing schedule, but I got it all done. A lot of transcriptions. But there was no way in the world I was letting anybody else write that book. And I stopped by Book Martin Cafe yesterday, and they only had a couple out on the shelf. They still got stock there. We had to replenish the stock. So the book is still selling, and I still believe every Bulldog fan deserves a copy of that book. And I also did a little book of poetry. And that was just kind of to satisfy a creative urge than myself, and limited quantities of that. But it was reviewed well and performed well. And so pretty happy. Don't know if I'll ever do another poetry book. We'll see. You never know. You never know where life's going to take you. Didn't think I'd be writing a Duty Noble book last year. But we sent out some chapters to some people that you know, and some people in the literary community, and just kind of, hey, what do you think? And all the reviews were incredible. And these are people that know not to blow smoke up my skirt, right? I was like, hey, I want this book to be as good as it can be, so be as critical as you need to be. And we got very, 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 very few critical remarks, and it was like, hey, maybe this works a little better here, whatever. So the initial reviews of The Dude are outstanding. And there are some people in the literary community that are encouraging us to put the book up for some pretty major awards. We're going to do that. And you never know, we may win something. But the most important thing to win is really the approval of you all, and to educate and inform you on one of the most notable names in Mississippi state history. And you're going to learn a lot about not only Duty Noble, but, you know, kind of the era in which he played and coached and served as your athletic director. And there are some stories in there that I'm awfully proud of, and some stories, too, that kind of correct some false narratives out there. You know, you can see this stuff on Twitter, right? You know, people get maybe one-tenth of a story, and then they make that the story without giving you any context or backstory. And there's some things that happened over the years while Duty Noble was an administrator, especially, that I don't think have ever been fully reported on. And so I dug down into that, did a ton of interviews, and did a ton of research, and we put this book together. And I think it's great, and I'm not going to be humble about it. I really do. I think it's my hope is that, you know, maybe when I'm dead and gone, when people look back and say, you know, I know that, listen, Flim Flam and Hugh Freeze and I are always going to be linked together. I know this, but my hope is that The Dude is really more of what I'm remembered for, if that makes sense, right? And you say, but Steve, you know, you were instrumental in getting Ole Miss's football coach fired. That's true, and I don't know that I'll ever, ever, ever do something that maybe surpasses that. But really, writing this book and writing the history of, you know, Duty Noble and so many of those things, that means more to me, if that makes sense. And maybe it's because I've matured a little bit too, but I never got into this industry and never really thought, hey, let's write a book and get an Ole Miss football coach fired. As a matter of fact, when we first started writing Flim Flam and got some great editors too, you know, I write this stuff, and there were some things I had to go back and fight for, you know, and say, hey, this doesn't need to go in, this doesn't need to go in. But I remember writing all that stuff, and it was like, you know, what a way to announce your arrival on the literary community arena, right? It's true. But the reality of that is that you never know what's going to fall on your lap. And you'd be amazed at how many people from around the country have messaged me and said, hey, would you be willing to look into this or write a book? I even had somebody, after we won the NAFL championship in 21, that thought Texas had a good chance to do it, wondered if I would write a book about Texas winning the NAFL championship in 2022. Well, of course they didn't, but I remember telling them, no, I don't know anything about the history of Texas baseball other than what I've witnessed in my lifetime, you know. And I just don't think it would be fair to that fan base, you know, to have a guy that's not a Longhorn to write that book, you know. And I've got some strong opinions about some other people that have written books about Mississippi State. You know, I think there are some people that kind of looked at a situation and said, hey, this is an opportunity for me to fill a niche or whatever. And it's just not accepted, to me, in my opinion. I think Mississippi State people should write about Mississippi State. That's my feeling. You know, that's as bluntly as I can put it. And so one of my dreams when I got ready to move back to Mississippi, I remember my wife asking, what are you most looking forward to? I said, writing books. I don't know how I'm going to get them published. I don't know anything about it. We'll figure all that out. I'm just going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to write books about Mississippi State and tell our story. And that was the intention. And now we've sports book number 5. Yeah, it's true. We didn't tour extensively for When the Bottom Falls, and a lot of it's because it was so hard on me at the time. But so when we do have book signings, every book that is available will be there available for purchase. You know, we've got copies of everything. There's very limited copies of Villains and Alpha Dogs. And once that's exhausted, we're going to put those on ebooks. We'll do a fresh edit. We'll upload it, you know, to like Kindle and things like that. And a lot of people have asked for that anyway. A lot of people want me to do Audible. I've just got to make the time to do it. I mean, it's like every day when I need to just kind of sit down and say, okay, once we get through this section, like maybe once we get through Thanksgiving, maybe we get to December and we got some time that we're not constantly chasing our tail, you know, I can allocate a couple days a week and maybe we can do that. Maybe. I don't want to commit to it yet, but it is something that we're discussing because we want this information to be out there for you. And I've got a lot of people that say, hey, Steve, I travel a lot. I run a lot. I work out a lot. I'd love to hear you do it. And rather than pay somebody to do it, I got the equipment to do it. You know, and not to mention, I'll have some bonus content that will do that. So there's a lot of things going on with that. But I look forward to being back at Davis-Wade Stadium tomorrow. But I'm here a lot, right? But the thing that I always think about is all of you and, like, the excitement that you're feeling right now. Because there are some friends you only see when you come to Starkville. You know, whether it be old classmates or roommates, lost loves, I don't know. And there are people you tailgate with that maybe the only time that you guys get together and congregate and enjoy each other's company is when you come to celebrate life on the campus of Mississippi State University. That is something that never gets old, no matter what the team looks like. But when we all get a chance to be together and celebrate the Bulldogs, we should always take that opportunity. So allow me my last impassioned plea. If you are on the fence about coming to the game tomorrow, let me encourage you, please, please come. Because even if you just live within a few hours, I mean, the game's going to be at 5, and by the time you get out of here, you can still get home in time. I know it'll be a little bit late. It'll be a little bit of a challenge. You know, it'd be okay for you to skip Sunday school and go to big church, you know. And maybe you don't even go to church. I don't know. But the reality of it is that we only get a handful of opportunities to enjoy a football game at Davis-Wade Stadium. You know, we talk a little bit about the LED lights, which I'm completely in favor of. However, it doesn't matter what kind of lights you have when you're playing 11 o'clock, right? There's a lot of that. Right, we got to win some ball games, but we need you to come make it an amazing atmosphere. There's no other way around it. You are a part of this. I mean, you listen to the show, you know, you subscribe to the website, you buy the merch, you know, but you're a Mississippi State person, and whenever you can get home, and this is home. I don't know where you get your mail, but Starkville is home because it's where your heart is. You need to come visit us. And even if we don't get a chance to see each other, we can still be together within the confines of Davis-Wade Stadium or Humphrey Coliseum or Duty Noble Field or News Park. It's important for us to always remember that, hey, we can put our differences aside. And for a few hours, every now and again, we get together and we cheer for a common cause. It's one of the most amazing things in life. you know, we get so caught up in all this talk about politics, and I'm really ready for this election to come and go, truly, because this is a maroon state. And that's a state that I care about, right? There's a reason that I call Mississippi home, and it's not just because I was born here. I left, and I lived other places, and I've had great experiences. There was always the call to come back home. And I came back home to cover Mississippi State full-time. It's been a dream of mine. And it's been an incredible ride, and I think there are big things ahead of us. At least I hope so. But I have a lot of faith in Jeff Lebby, and I think it would be really neat. You know, you keep that ticket stub, you know, if you've got the thing, the manual ticket stub. And there's not as many souvenirs these days, right? It used to be as a kid, you'd have your ticket stub, your dad buy you a game program, and then you put the ticket stubs in there, and then you put it, you know, in a drawer somewhere, and you always have it, and sometimes you're missing your dad, and you now you pull it out and look at it. You know, nowadays everything is digital, right? It's so difficult, you know, to have you know, those little souvenirs of your trip. But you know, my dad's birthday would have been yesterday, and share with you guys before, you know, dad was a Bulldog through and through. You know, went to Jones County Junior College when it was still a JCJC. And grew up in Ellisville, Mississippi, and went to Mississippi State, and it changed the trajectory of our family. It did. And my dad wanted me to have better. So I had better. I wanted my kids to have better, and they have better. And you look about how the generations are building upon one another, right? And that makes me very proud. And to think that it all started with my dad, you know. And of course, the... you know, the work ethic passed down to him by his own parents. And I remember after he passed away, and I had this, after he had passed away, we were, you know, going through some of his things. And I have one of his suits. I don't know that I could wear it these days. But in his pocket, it was a Thanksgiving service, we believe. And, you know, what is something you're thankful for? My dad wrote, "I'm thankful that my parents taught me how to work and not to shirk my responsibilities." And that's something that makes me proud. And of course, we find that after he's passed away, but that's the way that he lived. And I do, I miss him every day. And I have so many people that come up to me, and what they don't know is a lot of times I walk away, I'm a little teary-eyed. I'm going to try to make it through this without getting teary-eyed. I have all these people that work with my dad, Farmers Home Administration, around the state of Mississippi, because he did so much to help the lives of Mississippi farmers. That was his passion in life. He grew up on a dairy farm in Jones County, Mississippi. His dad was a farmer. His dad before him was a farmer. My dad went to work after he graduated from Mississippi State trying to make the lives of Mississippi farmers better. It's very important. That's one of the reasons that we have this great appreciation for farmers within our family and on this show. And while my dad wasn't a farmer as an adult, he did a lot for the farming community in Mississippi. And so when I think about what what I've accomplished, my siblings have accomplished, and what my children are accomplishing, I know that my dad will be proud. And there are so many people that come up and say, "Hey, Steve, you know, your dad would be so proud of you." And all of us, I think that's what we feel. That's what we covet in life, right? Is to know that our parents are proud of us. And I tell my children all the time, even though, you know, a couple of them are adults now, how much I love them and how proud I am of them. And when people come to me and say, "You know what, Steve, you are Freddie Robertson made over," that is the greatest compliment anybody could ever give me. Hey, so listen, let's get out of here. Thanks so much for your support of the Boneyard, the top 10 list, the books, the website. And currently you can get Gene's Page, the annual subscription, 75% off the regular subscription rate. How cool is that? 75% off, and it's only going to run through the Labor Day. So you need to make sure, if you want to come be a part of the Gene's Page family, whether you post on the message boards or not, but you want to read our VIP content, then come be a part of it. Jeanspage.com, 75% off. It is the best deal that we've ever offered. We've done this a few times over the last few years, and it only runs once a year. So let's come be a part of that. Again, jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.